Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, January 28th, 2008, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, Dr. Dick. That would be me. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Look for the Video On Demand tab right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. I know many of you have sexual performance concerns and questions. Hey, Doc, what are the best sexual positions for butt fucking? Hey, how do I eat out my girlfriend? I think I would like to get into bondage, but I don't know where to begin. You know, things like that. Well, now you don't have to wait for me to respond to your pressing query. Just mosey on over to Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library and let some of the experts show you how it's done. You'll be able to watch all kinds of appetizingly entertaining, amazingly enriching, and exceptionally informative videos right there on your old computer screen. How sweet is that? I have a really juicy show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast Voicemail Hotline at 866-422-5680. I'm sure you all know by now that this is a free, no-pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show.
Hey, Dr. Dick. Thanks for having a great podcast. I really enjoy it. This is DJ. I'm 39. I'm in northern Minnesota. And I've been in a relationship for, a gay relationship for almost 12 years now. My partner and I are very happy. And we're thinking about adding a new addition to our relationship, just to spice things up a little bit. And we've been looking through the gay personals online. I found a person who happens to be a patient of mine, and we're considering contacting him, but we're not sure if that may be crossing a line. So if you could give us some advice, that'd be great.
Let's see. The short answer to your question is yes. You would be crossing a line by offering your partner a tryst with you and your old man. You know the old adage, don't shit where you eat? Well, this is exactly like that, only completely different. While I'm happy to support you and your hubby of 12 years as you work toward opening your relationship to add a playmate or two, the current object of your desires is, to my mind, inappropriate. I think it's always ill-advised for professional people in general and healing and helping professionals in particular to get involved, romantically or otherwise, with their clients or patients. There's always the possibility of a conflict of interest, of course, but more importantly, there's the issue of propriety. That's not to say that this sort of thing doesn't happen all the time. It does. But I think there are significant potential problems for you, the professional, as well as the other guy, your patient. When I'm faced with a similar dilemma in my own life, I sit myself down with pen and paper and write out all the pros and cons of a hookup, even a casual one, with someone I have a professional relationship with. Regardless of whether I know the guy through my therapy practice or by way of my production company, it's all the same for me. These are lines I should not cross, but sometimes I need to remind myself of that. So, with pad and pen at the ready, I quickly jot down the pros of the hookup. These are so easy to enumerate. He's hot, he's charming, he's fun to be around. He's got a great personality and a wonderful sense of humor, and he's single. Hell, he may even be hot for me, although that's less likely these days now that I'm an old fuck. But hey, it could happen. So, if I were only to consider the pros, this appears to be a match made in heaven. What could possibly go wrong with this idyllic picture? Wait. That's where the cons come in handy. They are the bane of my existence, but they also keep me out of harm's way. If I'm struggling to come up with a list of cons, I simply conjure up, in my fevered little mind, the worst relationship I've ever had. Frankly, this isn't particularly difficult to do, because I've had some doozies in my time, don't you know? The reason I let my mind dredge up the sordid past like this is so that I can remember how bad things can get when a sex connection goes south. I do this to create a worst-case hookup scenario so that I can imagine what it would be like if the guy in question was not only an unfortunate choice on my part, but also a client or a porn pup on the rise. With just this little mental prompting, my cons category begins to grow and grow. The exercise pretty much puts the kibosh on my ardor, and I'm happily able to forgo the pleasure of the company of the man in question. Is it possible that I'm overreacting? That the hookup could have turned out to be sheer delight? Absolutely. But, being the kind of guy that I am, with the bum luck that I have, I'd just as soon not take the chance that it won't. I have a reputation, checkered as it might be, to uphold, and screwing around with the wrong guy is bad enough. I don't need the additional complication of him thinking that I took advantage of him, given my professional association with him. So I invite you to do the same sort of exercise yourself, DJ. First, create a column of pros. Why does this 40-something patient of yours with the online profile make a great candidate for a playmate? I'll bet you and the hubby already have this all figured out. Now, create your cons column. Try to imagine all the awful things that could happen as a result of a sex connection that goes bad. You know, the jealousy, the bitchiness, the backbiting, the rumors, stuff like that. And when you consider that he's being invited to a menage a trois, well, you can triple the risk factor. Like I said, the object here is to create the worst case scenario. Screwing around with the wrong guy is bad enough. You certainly don't need to add the complication of him thinking you took advantage of him, given your professional association with him. Because if things go bad and he brings this little encounter to the attention of the medical board, you're going to be in a heap of trouble. Of course, there's always the option of terminating your doctor-patient relationship before the fuck. In this case, I advise there be at least a 2-month hiatus between the end of your professional association and the startup of your sexual one. However, if I were your patient and you offered me this option, I'd choose to maintain the professional connection we have. I'd be flattered by your interest, of course, but I'd know that it's much harder to find a good doc than it is to find a sweet bone, even in northern Minnesota. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, how can I get my question to you just like this guy? Why, that's real easy. All you have to do is use the toll-free podcast voicemail hotline number. It's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Brett, 38, writes from Michigan. My wife gets excited when I talk about my fantasy of her having sex with another woman. She will orgasm every time I bring it up while we're having sex. When I bring it up in general conversation, she says she's not interested. She also has a female coworker who flirts with her frequently, but my wife says that she's just goofing around. My wife did admit to me, though, that at one time, about 15 years ago, she thought about having a relationship with a female friend. Do you think my wife could be bisexual and maybe desiring a woman privately? Oh my God, you're such a guy, Brett. You got a real hard-on going for this potential girl-on-girl thing, huh? There's one concept that you need to get a handle on right away. Fantasy material, in your case, your sex chatter about watching your wife with another chick while you're humping away at her, rarely translates well into the real world. That's the beautiful part about fantasy, don't you know? We can let ourselves enjoy the most outrageous, vulgar, lewd, disgraceful, shameful, unconscionable scenarios without actually having to mess with them in real life. And God knows they can get real messy. So, I encourage you not to read too much into your wife's fantasy, or your fantasy about your wife, or ever expect that someday you might get her to change her mind if only you keep working at it. Here's a tip. Persistent pestering about something like this will surely backfire. That's not to say that lots of people, even your wife perhaps, won't use fantasy to rehearse sexual situations that they might one day want to live out for real. Lots of people do that. But if you've asked your wife about this and she shows no interest in making the fantasy a reality, then why don't you just drop it already? And the fact that your wife may have had a fleeting interest in another woman 15 years ago don't mean nothing, darling. It sure as hell doesn't suggest to me that she might be a closet bisexual. It does, however, confirm that you are a guy with a typical guy Jones. You're itching to get the little woman to munch some muff by hook or by crook. And that, my friend, is going to get you in a whole lot of trouble if you're not careful. Good luck. Next we hear from James, who's 19, writes from Alaska. I am gay. I still have trouble saying that because of my very conservative upbringing, but that's not what I need help with today. I had my first few sexual encounters the other week with a great, understanding older guy. When he was blowing me, it felt great. However, I wasn't able to come during the oral sex. Is this normal? And is there anything that I can do to change that? Thank you so much for any help and the chance to say something to someone about being gay. I don't get to talk about issues in this genre because of the taboo-ness of the issue. Thanks a lot, James. Well, sorry to hear that you're living in such a repressive environment, pup. I hope that changes for you real soon. Just remember, change is going to begin with you. The longer that you put up with the repression, the harder it will be to break its grip. Coming out is rarely a breeze for anyone. This is especially true for those like yourself who have been raised in a conservative home. But then, throwing off the shackles of oppression, however they present themselves, will make you a much better person in the long run. Like the old saying goes, if you allow someone to control your sexuality, you allow that person to control all of you. So nothing reverses the repression quicker than exercising your sexuality on your own terms. As to the oral sex question you raise, I've written a whole lot about this already. You may want to mosey on over to the category section in the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com and look for the entries tagged Ejaculation Concerns. You'll find a load of written postings as well as podcasts. The gist of what I've had to say about this is it's not uncommon for a guy not to get off with just a blowjob. This is particularly true for someone who is new to the whole Hummer thing. Also, there is a distinct possibility that the guy doing the blowing may not be particularly a talented cocksucker. It happens. It happens a lot, believe me. That being said, there are things that you can do to change this if that's what you want to do. First and foremost, you need to communicate with your partner on how he's doing down there. You see, most of us guys get real used to the feel of our hand on our unit while we're jerking off. After years of practice, we get our stroke down to a science. We know exactly when to apply more pressure or loosen our grip. We know exactly when to speed up the stroke and when to ease off. We know exactly when to yank on our balls or stick a finger in our ass to diddle our prostate. We know all of this because our body is giving us constant feedback all the time we're playing with ourselves. On the other hand, the cocksucker between our legs isn't getting that kind of immediate sensory feedback. So he's gonna not know what to do down there unless you tell him. And it's really okay to give a guy a little direction. You know, a talented cocksucker, of course, will already know how to ask for your feedback. After all, he's new to your cock, and his experience tells him that not all cocks respond the same way to the same stimulus. Another thing you can do is relax. There's not a whole lot of shoulds when it comes to sex, so the more relaxed you are, the more you'll be able to enjoy the pleasure. If your mind is busy with a bunch of dumb shit like, oh my God, I'm not getting off, what must he think of me? Then you are not in the moment and the pleasure is wasted on you. Finally, the best way to learn how to receive a good blowjob is to become a fabulous cocksucker yourself. Smoking you some fine pole is an art form. It's way more than simply wrapping your lips around a dick. The more you understand about superior cocksucking, the better you'll be at guiding your partners through the fine points of eating your meat. So get out there and get some experience. Not sure what to do when faced with a big, beautiful baloney pony? Well, you're in luck. Check out my sexual enrichment tutorial, So You Want to Be a World-Class Cocksucker? Or How to Give the Perfect Blowjob. You'll find this little gem in the category section. Look for entries tagged Blowjob. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Write it down. 866-422-5680. Ricardo is up next. He's 20. He writes from Miami. I have understood that there is a certain period while women have their period that they can have unprotected sex without risk of getting pregnant. Is this true? And if it is, when is this period? After or before PMS? And how long does it last? Thanks. Nope, darling. There is no such thing as a 100% foolproof, absolutely certain period in a woman's menstrual cycle that she can have unprotected sex without the risk of getting pregnant. Period. This is a myth, and a mighty risky myth at that. If you're considering this practice as an effective means of birth control, you're playing Russian roulette with your dick. Okay, so here's the lowdown on the rhythm method, also known as fertility awareness. It is not a reliable way to prevent pregnancy for most people. Over 25% of couples that rely on the rhythm method alone to prevent pregnancy will accidentally conceive. You see, one has to be a freaking rocket scientist to use the rhythm method correctly and consistently. A woman is generally infertile around 10 days a month. But the one slight miscalculation on when that infertile period begins, and you're going to be toast. The rhythm method is dependent on the couple not having sex around the time of ovulation. But the trick is accurately determining precisely when ovulation happens. Couples can try to track this by using a calendar and a thermometer to measure body temperature. A woman's temperature will rise a couple of degrees just before ovulation, but very few women are as regular as clockwork. And lots of things like stress, prescription medications, even antihistamines can throw a woman's cycle off by a day or two. The fertile period around ovulation lasts 6 to 12 days. So absolutely no unprotected fucking during that period, don't you know? Even if you use the rhythm method perfectly, it is highly ineffective as a means of avoiding pregnancy. That's because the method's formula makes several assumptions that are not always true. Sure, one can keep track of past menstrual cycles to predict the length of future cycles. However, the length of the pre-ovulatory phase can vary significantly, depending on a woman's overall health. Like if for some reason she ovulates early, this will fuck up the rhythm method formula big time. The formula will indicate she is still infertile when actually she is quite fertile, so look out! The rhythm method also assumes that all vaginal bleeding is true menstruation. But that's simply not the case. If you incorrectly identify the onset of menstruation, even by one day, you render all your calculations inaccurate. Again, you will be toast, pup. And consider this. Sperm can live in a woman's reproductive system for up to 7 days, and fertilization may occur even days after fucking. I mean, with risks like these, wouldn't it be safer and easier just to slip on a condom? If by chance you are trying to reconcile your religious indoctrination, the rhythm method is the only means of family planning embraced by the Catholic Church, and your youthful libido, you may be playing with fire. In the final analysis, it's not only your life that is on the line here. Think about it. Wear a rubber. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Next, we have two clueless young butt pirates. First, Sean, 18, from North Carolina. I'm a recently gay man, and I love to bottom, but I just can't seem to relax when I'm having sex. Whenever I'm being topped, it initially hurts during the penetration, but once that's over, everything is fine. A few hours after having sex, for some reason, at that point, I start to bleed from inside my ass. Is there something particular I should be doing when I am bottoming to prevent this from happening? What you don't know about being a bottom, Sean, is a lot. Let me direct you to my sexual enrichment tutorial, Liberating the B.O.B. Within. That B.O.B., it stands for Big Old Bottom, don't you know? This will get you started on a road to happier and painless butt-fucking. You'll find this brilliant presentation by going to the category section on the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for all the entries that are tagged Being a Good Bottom. It's right there in the anal sex section. So, Sean, you need to get to the bottom, no pun intended, of this bleeding from your ass business right away. If you bleed every time you get fucked, that tells me you're doing something not right. The first question I have for you is, are you using enough lube? If you're not, or you're using the wrong kind, or worse, you don't know nothing about no lube, Miss Scarlet, then you have some remedial study ahead of you. Bone up on this right away before you do some serious damage to your insides. Lubes come in three basic types: water-based, oil-based, and silicone-based, all of which have different properties. First, water-based lubes are the most popular and user-friendly. They're easy to clean up, and they will not deteriorate latex. You know why that's important, don't you? Water-based lubes are safe to use with condoms. You do insist that your top wear protection, right, Sean? Please tell me you're not that dumb. The downside of water-based lubes is that they can dry out pretty quickly. If things do begin to dry out and you experience chafing, don't worry, just add more lube or reconstitute what you have with a generous wad of spit. Oil-based lubes like Vaseline and most hand and body lotions are not condom-friendly because they break down latex. They can also leave a residue in your ass that will trap bacteria, which will lead to infections. These types of lubes are great for pulling your pud, though. Silicone-based lubes are the slickest and longest-lasting of the bunch. And they're condom-friendly, too. The downside of this is that silicone lubes are a bitch to clean up because they don't dissolve in water. These lubes are great for butt-fucking. However, if there's going to be toys involved in your ass play, particularly the swell new silicone toy sex toys that are all the rage these days, don't use this kind of lube with them. Silicone-based lubes dissolve silicone toys. Here's a tip. If you have sensitive skin, spot test your new lube on your inner arm or thigh a day before you plan to use it in your sex play. Make sure you won't have an allergic reaction before you start spreading it all around. There are hundreds of varieties of lubes available, so you have your work cut out for you. May I suggest that before you plunk down your hard-earned money on a big bottle of one type of lube or another, that you get some samples and try them first. The second question I have for you is, the guy who's topping you, does he know what the fuck he's doing? Or is he just sticking it in and ramming it away? If your top hasn't taken the time to warm you up, to open your ass for the assault, then he's a rank amateur and he shouldn't be anywhere near your precious rosebud. Respect yourself, Sean, and care for your hole. Careless butt-fucking is more than a pain in the ass. It's a dangerous health risk. Good luck. And finally, we hear from Mel, who's 20, and he writes from the United States. Okay. My first sex was with a guy. Then I got plenty of sex with girls. Then there was the time that I got fucked. It hurt on the first time, but as it continued, it got to feel all tickly, and I started to enjoy it. But I still like to have sex with girls. What do you think I am, really? What do I think you are, really? I think you're confused. Why would you want me, a total stranger, to offer an opinion on who you really are? I mean, really? I gather you want me to weigh in on your sexual orientation, right? Well, from the bit of information that you give me, I'd say you're able to swing both ways, and that's a good thing, at least in terms of getting a date. You have it way over all the other folks who are only attracted to one gender. But more to the point is how you self-identify. Or maybe you don't need to self-identify at all. You see, certainly you don't need me or anyone else, for that matter, to give your sexuality a label. I mean, is there a pressing need for you to label yourself as one thing or another? Listen, all human sexuality is on a continuum. Have you ever heard of the Kinsey 0 to 6 scale? The Dean of American Sexology, Alfred Kinsey, his associate Wardell Pomeroy, and their colleagues developed this scale as a way of clarifying a person's sexuality in terms of both behavior and fantasy. This is what they developed. A Kinsey 0 represents an exclusively heterosexual person who has no same-sex behavior or fantasy. A Kinsey 1 represents a predominantly heterosexual person who may have incidental same-sex feelings, most likely in fantasy alone. A Kinsey 2 represents a predominantly heterosexual person who has more than incidental same-sex feelings and experience, fantasy for sure, and probably some behaviors too. A Kinsey 3 represents an equally heterosexual and homosexual person, one who enjoys both other and same-sex behavior and fantasy. A Kinsey 4 represents a predominantly homosexual person who has more than incidental other sex feelings and experience, fantasy for sure, and probably some behaviors too. A Kinsey 5 represents a predominantly homosexual person who may have incidental other sex feelings, most likely in fantasy alone. A Kinsey 6 represents an exclusively homosexual person who has no heterosexual behavior or fantasy. These pioneering sexologists also discovered that an individual can, and often does, move around the scale at different periods in his or her life. So, if you really want to know what you really are, look both to your fantasy life and your actual behaviors and make your call with that information in mind. Just don't be overly surprised if you find that you shift from one position to another as you grow into your sexuality. Good luck! Alrighty then, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, the ever-popular Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos! Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out! Look for the Video On Demand tab right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. There's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-view kind of deal. Remember, your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Sweet, huh? And look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.